Hello there and welcome in to Ari's Playoff Predictions presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. I am your host alongside my good friend Ben Allen. We are so excited to be working with our friends over at DraftKings and bringing you some insight into every single playoff matchup to help you get the information you need to dominate your picks here this weekend.
Get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Scoring touchdowns is key to winning in the playoffs, and you can score big by betting on them at DraftKings, the number one place to bet touchdowns. Ready to place your first bet? Try betting on something simple like a player to score six. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app and make your pick.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code MEIROV, M-E-I-R-O-V. That is code MEIROV, M-E-I-R-O-V, for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you just bet $5.
All right. Let's have some fun here. Let's go through each matchup of this Super Wild Card weekend, give our notes, takeaways, predictions, starting with the first game of the slate, the Los Angeles Chargers at the Houston Texans. Right now, the Chargers are 3-point road favorites. The over-under is at 42.5 points. What do you think is going to be the biggest deciding factor in this game?
I think that we have to start with the injuries here, and we'll start with Los Angeles, where J.K. Dobbins with an ankle, Quentin Johnson, the receiver with a thigh and an illness, Denzel Perriman, the linebacker with a groin, and their guard slash tackle, Trey Pipkins, who has been starting basically all year with an oblique. They are all questionable here for this game, while wide receiver Josh Palmer with a foot injury, he is going to be out. Meanwhile, in Houston, their starting guard, Shaq Mason, started 15 games this year. He is out in this game with a knee injury. But you look at this game, the Chargers, of course, it was a new era this year with Jim Harbaugh, who got them to the playoffs after the year before. They only had 5-6 wins. But one of the big narratives around this team all year long was that they were just 2-5 against teams that won 10 or more games this past season. Both those wins came against the Denver Broncos. So another opportunity here for Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers versus a 10-win team. Houston won 10 games this year to try to quiet that narrative against a Houston team, which I think was far more impressive last year than they were this year. I think they had a very, very easy division. They won it fairly easily. Of course, the Jaguars, the Titans were two of the worst teams in the league. The Colts were never really much into it. So the Houston Texans had an easy path into the playoffs, but this should be a really good game here on Saturday to kick off the postseason.
Yeah, let's talk a little Chargers here. They've scored 108 points over the last three games. It's the most in the NFL. Over the same time, the frame for the Texans, only 44 points. It's tied for the third worst in the NFL. I think this is two teams going in two different directions. I don't think the Texans are really equipped or even able to cover the 3 points. They're not going to get the win in this one. I think the biggest factor in this game for the Chargers will be the way that they decide to move the ball in offense. Justin Herbert has been hot of late, but I do think they could ultimately lean on that run with J.K. Dobbins. But when it all is said and done, Justin Herbert's going to have to throw the ball. And that's where Ladd McConkey comes in. Chargers were 6-0 this season when Ladd had over 85 receiving yards. So I imagine they want to get him early and often. I'm going to jump all the way to 80 yards for him plus 110. It's not too bad. He had that in six of his last seven games. That's my player prop for this game.
I like you. I'm going to flip over to the run and go with the Chargers. I mentioned he's questionable. I expect him to play in this game. We'll know for sure, obviously, on Saturday, 45 minutes before kickoff. But J.K. Dobbins over 61.5 rushing yards. First of all, J.K. had an amazing year, bounce back year coming off the Achilles there in L.A. He's in a contract year. He's very close to free agency. I think he is poised to have a big postseason. But also, this Texans defense, their last three games, they've allowed over 150 rushing yards per game over those last three games. And on the year, at home, which this game will be in Houston, they allowed over 135 rushing yards per game. That is sixth most in the NFL. So give me J.K. Dobbins over 61.5 rushing yards.
All right, on to the second game, Battle of the AFC North. We have the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens are they're favored by a whopping 9.5 points with an over and under of 43.5. The team split the regular season series with the Steelers winning the first battle 18-6. It's 18-16 in week 11, and the Ravens winning week 16 game 34-17. Entering the playoffs, the Ravens have won four straight games, and on the other side, the Steelers have lost four straight games. All right, what are going to be the most important factors to this game?
Well, the biggest injury in this game by far is the Ravens will be without their Pro Bowl wide receiver Zay Flowers. He suffered a knee injury in their Week 18 Saturday game versus the Browns. Too quick of a turnaround here for him. He did not practice all week long. He will not play in this game. We look at the tight ends for the Ravens, Mark Andrews, Isaiah likely has not been that involved throughout the year. The targets have not been there, but I do expect to see him more on the field here this week with Zay Flowers out, essentially another receiver. But sticking with Mark Andrews, he has scored a touchdown now in six straight games. He has 11 touchdowns over his past 12 games. A bit of an interesting stat over here, but the Pittsburgh Steelers, whenever they play a divisional opponent in the playoffs, they've done it 12 times over the history. They are 10-2 in those games. So could they improve it to 11-2? We will find out. But like you said, Ben, the Baltimore Ravens are heavy favorites in this game. They're on a winning streak. The Steelers on a four-game losing streak.
Yeah, during the Steelers' last four games, which, mind you, all losses, they failed to score even 17 points and have been losing by an average margin of 13 points during that span, including 17 to the Ravens. Baltimore has scored 30-plus during that every game of that span, and their closest finish was 17 points in that margin to the Steelers. So, like our last matchup, two teams that really are heading two different directions. With that being said, at 9 points, 9.5 points, that's a lot for any playoff game. Largest spread of the weekend. I think the Steelers keep it closer than that, but I still think this is the Ravens game at the end of the day. And I think the guy who's going to put this team on their back is Derrick Henry. Entering the playoffs, having rushed for 135 plus yards in three straight games, including 162 against Pittsburgh, I'm going to take 100 plus yards for him. That's at minus 120. What about you, Ari?
I don't think you can ever go wrong with Derrick Henry. I mentioned this guy's name before, but I'm going to go with Isaiah Likely over 2.5 receptions in this game. Again, he has not seen as many targets over here throughout the course of the year. I believe he had 9 catches in week one. It's definitely dwindled throughout the year, but in this last game versus Cleveland, after Zay Flowers got injured, he ended up having 5 targets in that game. I think Lamar Jackson will be looking at him in this game with no Zay Flowers. Somebody else has to get the ball. Who will it be? I think Isaiah Likely will be getting the ball here in this game. Over 2.5 receptions. You can get plus money on that one as well.
Third game of the weekend, first on Sunday, Denver Broncos at the Buffalo Bills. Second largest spread of the week, Bills by 8.5, over under 46.5. Bills have won 10 of their last 12, including week 18, where they lost while sitting Josh Allen. Broncos lost 2 of their final 3 games against the Bengals and Chargers, and then the only win being against the Chiefs backup. So do with that as you will. What do you think is going to be the biggest factor into who wins?
Well, I think the schedulers did not do any favors here for the Broncos, essentially coming from Denver to Buffalo and then giving them the early window game there on Sunday, essentially an 11 a.m. kickoff for them for a playoff game. Of course, the Broncos played everyone last week. It was a must-win game versus Kansas City. They took care of it fairly easily. Buffalo basically rested all their key starters. Josh Allen only played one snap to keep his consecutive snap streak starting streak here alive, but they are well rested. Meanwhile, of course, Denver just played everyone. That's going to be a big factor here as well. But for Buffalo, they have been one of the best teams in the NFL all year. I think the narrative going into the postseason, there's one team that they cannot beat. It is the Kansas City Chiefs. The Denver Broncos, if you look at this year, they struggled to get wins for teams who are over 500. They were able to get one last week, but again, that was the Chiefs backups out there. So it's going to be a huge test over here for the Denver Broncos, who had a very impressive year, over $90 million in dead money. They're still paying so much money to Russell Wilson. They have a rookie quarterback and all that. Impressive year. Their defense has been outstanding. You can make an argument that Patrick Surtain could be the defensive player of the year. Zach Allen, the defensive tackle, arguably one of the most underrated seasons in the NFL for any defensive player. But this is going to be a very, very big task over here for Denver going into Buffalo and what should be a raucous environment.
You know, it's been an interesting season for the Bills. They were 8-0 at home this season, but only one of those wins came against a playoff team, the Kansas City Chiefs. 5 of those wins came by 9-plus points. And on the other side of things, all but one of the Broncos' 7 losses this season were by 1 score. I think the Bills win this game, but they don't cover the spread. A lot is going to be riding on Bo Nix and the Broncos. I think the Bills are going to end up bringing the pressure pretty hard on him. Nix is going to have to get outside the pocket. So ultimately, this is leading me towards taking Nix over 26.5 rushing yards. That's going to get you there at minus 115. Nix had 7 such games this year, and he actually did it in each of the last 2 games. What are you picking?
I'm going to go probably sprinkle a little bit on this one, but get a plus 320 right now. It is Von Miller with over 0.25 sacks. Of course, Von Miller started his career in Denver, eventually will be in the Broncos Hall of Fame. Of course, won a Super Bowl or Super Bowl MVP. He talked about this week just how it's full circle for him being a Buffalo Bill, being back in the playoffs, of course, healthy now, and taking on his former team in the Broncos. His last 2 regular season games he played, he had a sack. I just have a feeling he wants to get a sack against his former team in this game. So it's plus 320 right now on DraftKings, over 0.25 sacks for Von Miller. I would sprinkle a little bit on that one.
Second game on Sunday, Green Bay Packers at the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles favored by 4.5, over under 45.5. Rematch of the week 1 battle where we saw the Eagles win 34-29. Eagles enter the game having won 12 of their last 13 games. Packers have lost 3 of their last 5 games. One factor, of course, this for Philadelphia is Jalen Hurts has been dealing with a concussion. I think most people assume he's going to be out there, but right now that's not a slam dunk case. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, the injuries in this game are very interesting. You mentioned Jalen Hurts and the concussion. It's been a couple of weeks now since he initially suffered that one, but he has been getting back to practice. Essentially, has been limited so far throughout the week, but that is basically going through all these steps to officially pass through concussion protocol, barring something unforeseen. I expect to see him here starting for the Eagles, who, of course, also rested all their key starters last week in week 18 versus the Giants. They could have had the Saquon Barkley record. They are thinking about bigger and better things over there right now in Philly. Green Bay also has a notable injury there with Jordan Love, who has been dealing with an elbow injury. But the positive news over there is that he was a full participant at practice on Thursday. The final injury report will come out on Friday, but he should be good to go as well. So we should have both of these highly paid quarterbacks playing here in this game. This is a situation which is a bit of a repeat situation for Green Bay to last year, if you remember, Ben, when they were also the 7th seed. They're the 7th seed right now. They took on the number 2 seed in the NFC, which also happened to be an NFC East team. Back then, it was Dallas Cowboys. This time, it is the Philadelphia Eagles. And of course, Jordan Love was on fire in that game. They put up over 45 points and upset the Cowboys in Jerry's World. They're going to try to repeat that. You mentioned it. This is a rematch of that week 1 game in Brazil. It feels like it was yesterday. How was it already 19 weeks ago? I don't know. But here we are over here. It's probably the game of the week in my eyes over here between these 2 teams who I had the Packers before the year making it to the Super Bowl. I don't think this is an easy matchup for the Eagles, but they are well-rested. Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, everyone is well-rested. And that defense throughout this year, which is led by Vic Fangio, has been one of the best defenses in the NFL. It should be an amazing matchup here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and in my eyes, the 4.5-point spread feels like the combination of the Eagles winning by 5 in week 1 and also the uncertainty just around Jalen Hurts. But each of the Eagles' last 11 wins, they've actually been by 5-plus points. So I think they cover the 4.5. I do think the Eagles continue to lean on Saquon Barkley, who had the week off, like you mentioned. He was given a chance, potentially would have been given a chance to break the all-time rushing record. They said, it's more important you rest. I think he's going to be fired up. Give me Barkley, 110-plus rushing yards at plus 120. He had 8 such games during the regular season. He had 109 against the Packers in week 1, so he was only 1 yard away from that number. I think he gets it this time. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, these are 2 teams who signed running backs in free agency this past offseason. It's been well worth the investment. Of course, Saquon Barkley might be the offensive player of the year, but make no mistake about it, Josh Jacobs has been outstanding for the Green Bay Packers as well. I'm going to have over 17.5 rushing attempts here for Josh Jacobs. I think the Packers want to control the ball. I don't think they want the Eagles to have the ball much in this game and have it on their terms. When they signed Josh Jacobs, the thinking was we need him for December and January football. I think they're going to try to rely on him over here. His last 3 games, he has fell short of this over 17.5 number. But you look at the three games before that, he had 26 carries, 18 carries, 19 carries, and 26 carries. That's the last four games, not three, prior to the last three at the end of the regular season. I think they were saving him up over there at the end of the regular season, knowing they had no chance at the NFC North. I think they're going to unleash over here Josh Jacobs. As long as they're not playing from behind, I think they want to play under their terms, and that means going to Josh Jacobs.
All right, Ari. Final game on Sunday, Commanders at Buccaneers. Bucs are favored by 3, over under a 50.5. A lot of points expected there. Commanders are riding a 5-game winning streak entering the matchup. Bucs have won 6 of their last 7. These two teams, like the last matchup, squared off in week 1, where the Bucs came out victorious 37-20, which, albeit, was against Jaden Daniels in his first career game. But ultimately, do you see the Buccaneers dominating again?
No, I mean, I think this is a completely different team compared to what it was in week 1. I think nobody ever thought that we would be talking about a Commanders Buccaneers playoff matchup when these two teams faced off in week 1. Tampa Bay took care of business easily back then, but this is a completely different Washington Commanders team. There have been times this year when Jaden Daniels, who will be Offensive Rookie of the Year, has played as an MVP level. There have been times this year where it's like, oh, that is rookie Jaden Daniels. I think last week versus the Cowboys, when he played one half, that was not the Jaden Daniels we're all accustomed to. So which one are we going to get in this game? The one thing that is pretty clear with these teams is that these are two defenses that allow big-time plays. Look at even last week, the Buccaneers in a must-win game, they nearly lost that game against the Saints and Spencer Rattler. In two games this year, they made Spencer Rattler look amazing. So Jaden Daniels is going to have an opportunity here to light up the field over there in his first ever playoff game. One little fun storyline when it comes to this game, Ben, Mike Evans, who of course got to 1,000 yards last week and force feeding the ball to him at the end of the game, he's going to be going up against Marshawn Lattimore, who of course the Commanders traded for before the trade deadline. Those two have a very, very, very long history of many, many fights from all those Saints and Buccaneers matchup. And here we are in the first round. They're going to be going face-to-face once again. I would expect at least one or two scuffles between them in this game because they never have a perfectly clean game when it comes to those two guys.
Dude, I really, for my player prop, I really wanted to go with Mike Evans. I really wanted to, but like, you just don't know with this matchup. These two guys get at it, gets crazy. You know, and like you said, too, I'm a big believer in Jaden Daniels. I think that there is, you know, the sky's the limit with him. But in this matchup, I just have this sneaking suspicion that Baker Mayfield is going to put the team on his back. He's got 16 passing touchdowns over his last 5 games. That's been helping the Buccaneers average 33.4 points per game. That's fourth most in the NFL. And while I do think the Commanders keep it close, I think the Buccaneers cover the 3-point spread. But I'm also going to go on the other side of the ball as for my player pick here. My player prop, Terry McLaurin, anytime score, +115. He didn't do jack week 1 against the Bucs, I'm going to be honest here. But he's brought in 13 touchdowns during the regular season. That's second to only Jamar Chase. He also had 16 end zone targets, tied for 7th most in the NFL. Bucs have allowed 6 receiving touchdowns to wide receivers over the last 4 games. I know that number doesn't sound ridiculous, but when you actually take in, you know, tight ends, running backs, all the other things that go along with that, it's quite a few touchdowns just specifically to wide receivers. So I think Terry brings at least one in. What you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you. This is going to be a bit of a passing attack game for Baker Mayfield and Jaden Daniels. I could see both guys throwing for 250 plus yards in this game. And because of that, I don't think it's going to be as heavy of a running game. I mean, Bucky Irving had probably had the quietest 1,000-yard rookie season in NFL history this past year. But his rushing yards prop right now is 87.5. He did go over that 4 times this year, including in both of the final games of the year. But I'm going to take the under on that number. I believe Baker Mayfield will be putting his team on the back in this game. I also have a feeling that Washington will be ahead in this game to start the game, which means they're going to be throwing the ball much more. So I'm going to take the under on the rushing yards for the rookie in Bucky Irving. That's under 87.5 rushing yards.
And finally, we have the Minnesota Vikings versus the Los Angeles Rams. This game was originally scheduled to take place at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California. It has now been moved to State Farm Stadium in Arizona due to the ongoing wildfires in LA County. I can tell you from being here right now that even if you aren't in one of the areas directly impacted by the fire, the air is still thick with smoke and you legit don't want to be outside. So our thoughts and prayers go out to all of those affected. Now onto the game. The Vikings are 1.5-point road favorites with an over-under of 47.5 points. The Vikings are coming off a crushing defeat against the Lions in the final week of the season, and the Rams have won 5 straight games. Of course, this is before they entered Week 18 as well. They rested all their starters. The Vikings were riding a 9-game winning streak up to that point as well, and I think a lot of people are sleeping on this matchup, Ari, but I believe it's going to be a really good game.
You know, we all talked about for a long time that the number 5 seed in the NFC is going to be a 14-win team and they're going to have to go on the road. This is a game between two teams who played each other earlier on in the year. It was back around week 7, week 8. It was a Thursday night football game. We mentioned the Vikings only had 3 losses on the year. One of those losses came to these Los Angeles Rams. They lost that game 30-20. Puka Nacua came back in that game for the first time after missing most of the start of the year and had over 100 yards. Matthew Stafford threw for over 275 yards and had 4 touchdown passes. So that Brian Flores defense, which was excellent all year long to that point, Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford made it look like they knew what to do in that game. But this should be a really fun game. And again, for Minnesota and for a guy like Sam Darnold, who's scheduled to become a free agent here at the end of the year in the offseason, he had a struggling game in that game versus Detroit. Is he able to turn it around over here, or is he going to go into free agency on a sour note? And some people thinking, which Sam Darnold is the real Sam Darnold?
Yeah, and ultimately, this one's going to be tricky to pick. The Vikings are looking to bounce back and prove their regular season wasn't a fluke. But on the other hand, I really think the Rams are playing with a little bit extra oomph. They're trying to win for LA. The Rams got the dub 30-20 in week 8. I think they do it again. Rams win and cover. And like you were just talking about, I think Matthew Stafford has a repeat performance. He's got 4 touchdowns in that last game against the Vikings. I'm going to go ahead and just take him at over 1.5 passing touchdowns. That's minus 120. I feel pretty good about that one. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the other quarterback in this game. I mentioned him before, Sam Darnold. His passing yards prop right now is 270.5 passing yards. Feels a bit high to me. He's had a number of games this year where he did that, but in the last game versus the Lions, he was missing throws left and right, high and low. It was all over the place. I don't know how Sam Darnold is going to perform, which Sam Darnold is the real one. I think that number is a little bit too high. In that game earlier this year, he threw for 240 yards, so he's 30 yards off on that number, and that was a game they were trailing in. So I think this number is a bit too high for me. I'm going to go with Sam Darnold under 270.5 passing yards. So that will do it here. We will be back next week with more predictions and picks. Make sure to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code MEIROV, M-E-I-R-O-V. That is code MEIROV, M-E-I-R-O-V, for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
And friends at home, remember, odds and lines are subject to change. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER in New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after insurance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, visit dkng.co/audio. A-U-D-I-O.